Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we grab a headline that maybe looks straightforward on the surface, and we peel back those layers, right, to see what's really going on underneath. Because think about it, we use these incredibly complex things every single day. Our cars, perfect example, we hop in, push a button, maybe turn a key, and we trust them implicitly. We expect them to work, especially the important bits. But what happens when that trust gets shaken? Today, we're digging into something pretty significant from American Honda Motor Co. It's a recall. Nearly 260,000 vehicles pulled back because of a really critical safety issue. And this isn't just, you know, another recall notice to glance at. It's actually a fascinating look into how modern manufacturing works, or sometimes doesn't. It shows the hidden weak spots in these huge global supply chains and how one tiny overlooked detail can snowball into something massive.
Yeah, exactly. And our mission here today is really to get way beyond just that basic headline. We want to dissect what actually caused this recall. Mm. We'll trace that whole journey, you know, from the first hint of a problem all the way to the official recall announcement. It's often a pretty complex path. But more than just the specifics of this case, we want to explore what it tells us about modern manufacturing in general, and especially about these incredibly complex supply chains that, let's face it, we all depend on, often without realizing it. The goal is to give you, our listener, a kind of shortcut to get you properly informed, not just about the what happened, but the why it happened and the how, all designed so you can get that quick, but still really thorough understanding that actually sticks.
Right. And for today's deep dive, we're leaning heavily on a really solid piece by Eric Walls over at Automotive Dive. It does a great job laying out the core facts. And believe me, there are some critical facts to unpack here. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's unpack this Honda situation. The headline numbers are pretty spark. American Honda Motor Co. is recalling, 259,000 vehicles?
Yeah, just shy of 260,000. That's a significant number.
It really is. 250,000 cars needing a safety fix. And the defect itself. It's about the brake pedal. The source says it might become misaligned. Now, you don't need to be a mechanic to get why that's bad, right? A misaligned brake pedal that immediately screams increased crash risk. It's fundamental.
Absolutely fundamental. When you go for that brake, you need it to be exactly where you expect it, solid under your foot.
Yeah.
Any wobble, any sideways movement, it's incredibly dangerous. Imagine hitting the brakes hard and the pedal sort of shifts away. Or maybe you accidentally graze it when you didn't mean to because it's not sitting right.
Yeah, terrifying. So what's the technical reason? The article gets specific, doesn't it?
It does. It points directly to a manufacturing defect with the brake pedal pivot pin. And it uses this term, not being properly staked before assembly. So what does staked mean here? Think of it like a rivet, almost. It's a process where you mechanically fasten that pin super securely into the assembly, usually by deforming metal around it, so it absolutely cannot move unexpectedly, locks it in place.
Okay, so like putting a pin in a hinge, but then really making sure that pin can't slide out or wiggle around.
Exactly. It ensures the pedal pivots smoothly and predictably, but doesn't shift side to side. If it's not properly staked, that crucial pin is basically loose. It allows the pedal to move laterally side to side, which is definitely not what it's supposed to do. And that lateral movement, as the report states, can lead to unintended application by a driver. You might hit the brake when you don't mean to, or worse, not be able to apply full proper force when you desperately need to. It's a basic mechanical failure with potentially catastrophic results.
And this isn't just on one obscure model, is it? The list of affected vehicles is pretty mainstream.
Yeah, that's right. It covers some really popular ones. We're talking about the 2023 to 2025 Honda Pilot. I mean, yeah, you see those everywhere, right? Very popular family SUV.
Definitely.
Then on the Acura side, Honda's luxury brand, you've got the 2023 to 2025 Acura MDX, another big seller in the premium SUV market, and also the 2021 to 2025 Acura TLX sedan. So again, a popular choice.
So it spans SUVs, luxury SUVs, sedans, quite a broad range across their lineup. A lot of drivers potentially affected.
A very broad range, hitting different market segments. These aren't low volume cars.
So for people listening who might own one of these, what's the fix? What do they need to do?
The good news for owners is that the resolution is clear and it won't cost them anything. Honda dealers will inspect the brake pedal assembly. If they find the issue, they'll replace the whole assembly as necessary, free of charge.
Hmm.
This is standard practice for safety recalls. The manufacturer bears the cost. Honda expects to mail out the official notification letters to owners around July 28th, telling them what to do next.
July 28th. Okay, so owners should keep an eye out for that.
Definitely. It's not just about fixing a part. It's really about ensuring that fundamental trust in your car's most critical safety system, the brakes. They need to restore that driver confidence.
So let's just pause there. What does this really mean for you, the listener, especially if you drive one of these cars? It boils down to this. The one pedal you rely on absolutely to stop your car might not be stable. It could move when it shouldn't. That puts you, your family, anyone in the car at serious risk. It's not just a small glitch. It's a major safety concern that needs immediate attention from the dealership. It really drives home how a tiny manufacturing mistake somewhere down the line can directly impact your safety behind the wheel.
Couldn't agree more. It's a stark reminder.
Okay, so that's the what. Let's pivot now to the why. How did this happen? This is where the story gets even more complex, leading us down the path of global manufacturing and supply chains. Because this wasn't something that went wrong on Honda's final assembly line, right? It traces back further.
That's right. It originates with what's called a Tier 1 supplier. That's a company that supplies major parts or systems directly to the automaker, in this case, Honda. The supplier identified in the Automotive Dive article is Otsuka Kokiko.
Otsuka Kokiko. And what was the specific error there?
Well, as we discussed, the core issue was that some of those crucial brake pedal pivot pins were simply not staked before the pedal assemblies were put together. That fundamental securing step was missed. But, you know, the interesting part is why it was missed. It wasn't just random carelessness, apparently. It seems tied to a massive operational shift the supplier was undergoing.
A shift? What kind of shift?
A huge one. Otsuka Kokiko was physically moving its production. They were in the middle of a production transition from the U.S. to a Mexico facility. This whole process took place between June 14th and October 25th, 2024. Now, moving an entire factory isn't like moving house. It's incredibly complex. You're dismantling production lines, shipping heavy machinery, setting it all up again in a new place, often with different regulations, maybe a different workforce.
Yeah, the logistics alone must be mind-boggling. And trying to keep parts flowing to Honda during all that?
Exactly. And that pressure seems to be key here. The source notes that this move required increased staffing levels to mitigate any supply disruptions. They needed more people, likely quickly, to manage the transition and keep production going. But here's the critical failure point identified in the report. Some of these new employees were insufficiently trained. That lack of proper training seems to be the direct reason why the pivot pin staking process was sometimes skipped.
Wow. So pressure to move, hiring new people quickly, and then not enough training on a critical safety step. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It really does. Human error? Yes. But amplified by insufficient training during a period of major upheaval. It's a classic example of how process changes, if not managed perfectly, can introduce serious risks. And importantly, the article clarifies where this happened. It says, all of the improper brake pedal pivot pin staking occurred at the supplier's U.S. plant, which has since closed. Production fully moved to Mexico in early November 2024. So the error was contained to that specific plan during that transition phase.
Okay, that's important context. Hold on, it gets even worse, doesn't it? Because it wasn't just the human error from undertrained staff. There was another failure, a system failure.
Yes. This is where it really becomes a kind of perfect storm scenario. The source points to a second critical failure, a malfunction with the supplier's QR code scanning system.
A QR code system? What was that supposed to do?
It was essentially a quality control checkpoint. It was specifically designed to prevent process omissions. So theoretically, as a part moved down the line, maybe it gets scanned. If a step like staking the pin hadn't been done and verified, the system should have flagged it, stopped it right there. But the critical failure, the system was disabled. Really? And because it was disabled, it allowed the problem to go undetected.
Disabled? You mean turned off? Why would they do that?
The article doesn't explicitly state why it was disabled, whether it was intentional, maybe to speed things up during the chaotic move, or if it was an accidental oversight, a technical glitch that wasn't fixed amidst the transition. But the outcome is the same. The safety net failed. This really highlights our reliance on these automated checks in manufacturing. They're supposed to be the backup, the safeguard against human error. When that system is bypassed or non-functional, you lose a crucial layer of protection. Defective parts that should have been caught just slip through.
So let me get this straight. You have new, maybe rushed, undertrained workers, and the automated system designed to catch their potential mistakes is turned off.
That appears to be the sequence of events, yes. A combination of human factors compounded by a failure in the technological safeguards. It's a worrying combination.
It really is. It makes you wonder about the pressures involved during that factory move.
Absolutely. Now, to the supplier's credit, Otsuka Koki Co. did take corrective action after this all came to light. The report mentions they started to utilize a camera sensor to verify that the pivot pin is staked. Mm-hmm. So they've added another layer, a visual check using technology, to ensure this specific step is done correctly now. It's reactive, of course, because the faulty parts were already out there, but it shows they're trying to prevent it from happening again at the new facility.
Better late than never, I suppose. But still, thousands of cars are affected.
Okay, so we know what went wrong at the supplier. How did Honda actually find out about this? It wasn't caught internally during their own assembly, right?
No, it seems not. Which is interesting in itself. It looks like the initial flags came from outside Honda, from the real world. The timeline laid out in the article is quite revealing about this process.
Okay, walk us through that timeline. All right, so it starts way back on April 4th, 2024. That's when Honda first became aware of the problem and how. They received a report of brake pedal movement on a vehicle, just one initial report. But that single report, likely from a customer or maybe a dealer, was enough for Honda to launch an investigation, especially with something as critical as brakes. Even one serious report gets attention.
One report kicks off an investigation. Makes sense. Then what?
Then things seem to have been quiet, or at least the investigation was ongoing internally, for several months, until December 2nd, 2024. On that date, Honda got a second report of a vehicle experiencing brake pedal movement. Two reports, months apart. That likely signaled to Honda that this wasn't just a one-off fluke. It could be a pattern, a potential defect.
Okay, two reports. That must have ramped things up.
It seems so. Because after that second report, in February of this year, 2025, Honda started actively inspecting their own parts inventory, the brake pedals supplied by Otsuka Koki Co. that they had in stock, waiting to be installed. They were looking for the defect themselves. And in parallel, through April 2025, the supplier, Otsuka Koki Co., was also doing its own deep dive, trying to figure out what went wrong in their process and, crucially, how many potentially defective parts they might have shipped to Honda.
So both Honda and the supplier are investigating through the spring of this year.
Right. It's a collaborative investigation in a sense, though each company is verifying findings. Then finally, on June 5th, 2025, Honda made the official call. They determined that the problem resulted in non-compliance of the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards and elected to conduct the recall.
June 5th. So let's look at that again. First report, April 2024. Recall decision, June 2025. That's over a year. 14 months from first flag to recall for a brake issue. What stands out to you, the listener, about that? It feels like a long time, doesn't it?
It really does feel long from the outside, absolutely. Especially for something safety critical like brakes.
Oh.
But when you unpack the process, you start to see why it can take that long. Automakers can't just issue a massive recall based on one or two reports. First, they have to definitively confirm it is a widespread defect, not just a couple of anomalies. That means detailed forensic work on the parts.
Trying to replicate the failure, see if it's consistent.
Exactly. Then, the really hard part, pinpointing the root cause. As we saw, that involved tracing it back to a specific supplier, Otsuka Koki, understanding their production transition, the training issues, the disabled QR system. That requires audits, data analysis, communication across companies, maybe even across borders. And then they have to formally determine that the defect causes a non-compliance with federal safety standards. That's a specific legal and technical threshold set by agencies like NHTSA here in the U.S. It requires testing and documentation.
So it's not just is it broken, but is it broken in a way that violates specific safety rules?
Precisely. All these steps confirming the defect, finding the root cause, determining non-compliance, figuring out the scope, which vehicles, which years, planning the remedy, coordinating with regulators. They all take significant time, resources, and meticulous work. There are huge financial and legal implications, so they have to be incredibly thorough. The time lag, while frustrating, often reflects that necessary diligence.
Okay, that makes sense. It's a complex chain. Now, what about the actual impact so far? Has anyone been hurt?
That's a really crucial piece of context the article provides. As of June 5th, when the recall was decided, Honda knew of only 3 warranty claims related to this brake pedal movement. And very importantly, they were not aware of any injuries resulting from it.
Only 3 claims out of nearly 260,000 vehicles, and no injuries.
Correct. The number of reported incidents is surprisingly low, thankfully. But, and this is the key point, even with low numbers and no reported injuries yet, the potential risk from a faulty brake pedal is so severe that a recall is absolutely necessary. You can't wait for injuries to happen with something this fundamental. It's a proactive safety measure based on the identified risk, not just the current statistics.
Right. The potential is what drives the action. Okay, so if we kind of zoom out now and connect this to the bigger picture, what does this whole episode tell us?
Well, I think this Honda recall is a really powerful case study. It perfectly illustrates just how complex and, honestly, how fragile modern automotive supply chains can be. It's not just one company building a car anymore.
It's a global network.
It's a vast, intricate web. And it really shines a light on the role of these tier one suppliers, like Onsuka Kokiko. Automakers like Honda place enormous trust in these suppliers to deliver complex, critical components perfectly every single time. When that supplier has an internal issue, like this chaotic factory move, coupled with training and system failures, the ripple effect goes straight to the finished car on the road. It shows just how dependent OEMs are on the quality control processes of their partners, sometimes several layers down the chain.
And it seems like a clash between efficiency and safety sometimes.
That's a great way to put it. There's this constant tension, right? Companies are always pushing for more efficiency, faster production, lower costs, especially during big changes like relocating a factory. Otsuka Koki needed to move production and keep supplying Honda without interruption. But this case raises a critical question for you, for everyone. How do companies effectively balance that drive for efficiency with the absolute need for rigorous, fail-safe quality control? Especially when you're bringing in new people quickly, or maybe tweaking systems on the fly. This incident shows what can happen when that balance tips the wrong way, even slightly. The quest for efficiency, if not managed with extreme care, can inadvertently undermine quality and safety. The weak link wasn't some high-tech component. It was basic training and a disabled scanner.
And it's worth reminding listeners, as the Automotive Dive article points out, this isn't Honda's only recall challenge recently. This is actually their 12th recall, just since the beginning of this year.
12 recalls since January 1st, and this brake pedal issue is their second largest recall of 2025.
That number, 12 recalls in less than 6 months, does make you pause.
It does. And the source also mentions the other big one from earlier this year in January. Honda recalled over 294,000 vehicles for engine control unit software. That issue could potentially lead to stalling or sudden power loss. Now, we're not here to judge Honda specifically, but having 2 very large recalls for completely different kinds of problems, one mechanical hardware, one sophisticated software, within just a few months, well, it naturally raises questions. It could suggest some broader challenges in managing quality across increasingly complex vehicles and supply chains, or perhaps it reflects more intense regulatory oversight across the industry. Either way, it's likely prompting some serious internal reviews at Honda about their overall quality assurance systems.
Yeah, you'd have to assume so. Okay, so we've gone deep into this one specific recall, the supplier issues, the timeline. Why should someone listening care about this if they don't own one of these specific Honda or Acura models? What's the bigger takeaway here?
I think the universal relevance is huge, actually. This story isn't just about Honda or brake pedals. It's a window into how almost everything complex is made today. Your phone, your appliances, medical devices, they all rely on these intricate global supply chains. This deep dive shows how a seemingly tiny error, a pin not being staked properly buried layers deep in that chain, can combine with human factors and system glitches to create a massive safety problem downstream. It really hammers home the critical importance of having robust, multi-layered quality checks at every step. It's about accountability all the way through, constant vigilance, and recognizing that the whole system is only as strong as its weakest link. A multi-billion-dollar company's safety record can literally hinge on one small process step at a supplier maybe thousands of miles away. It connects us all.
It really does. What a fascinating and, frankly, slightly unsettling journey. From that initial brake pedal defect, tracing it back to the supplier's factory move, the training issues, the disabled QR scanner, then following Honda's year-long investigation to the final recall, it just goes to show how much is happening behind the scenes and why digging deeper than the headline is so valuable. Quality control isn't a simple checkbox. It's clearly a continuous, complex effort.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, something to consider. This whole situation really brings up a fundamental question for all of us in this interconnected world. When you have products assembled from components made by dozens of companies across multiple countries, where does the ultimate responsibility for quality actually lie? Is it just the brand name on the final product, or does it rest with every single company in that chain? And what role do we as consumers play? Our feedback, like those initial reports to Honda, can be crucial in uncovering hidden problems and ultimately driving accountability and improvement. It's something worth thinking about next time you rely on any complex piece of technology.
That's a powerful thought to end on. The interconnectedness and shared responsibility. Keep that curiosity alive. Keep asking those why and how questions about the world around you. The more we understand these complex systems, the better we navigate them. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.